Welcome back to the Man Catholic Podcast. I'm Steve Priest.
I'm Thomas Wirtz.
And I'm Brock Martin.
Today we're talking about freedom. This time. Best movie scene maybe ever.
Maybe of all time.
Like, maybe ever. Top three.
Top
right?
Three
William
iconic
Wallace.
Scene, yeah.
You can take our lives, but you can never take our freedom, right?
As his guts are outside his body.
Well, no,
that
no.
That definitely adds to
the... He yells that, yeah, going into battle. And then his guts are...
Oh, I was thinking of the death scene where he yells
he
freedom.
He also yells freedom there, too.
Also iconic. Gosh,
as they rip him
off.
Open.
It's been a while. That's my favorite scene. That gives me chills.
Yeah, they were... I mean,
so those are two top.
Him.
There's a lot of good scenes in Braveheart.
There's a lot of good scenes, man. But we're talking about Freedom Day because we live in America, and we are free men.
That's right, land of the free.
But I think we're taking a twist on it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of directions you can go with freedom. Obviously, one that we're all conscious of is just freedom with regards to our sexuality and our passions.
Yeah, because there's a lot of there's a lot of definitions of freedom.
Totally.
Right? Yeah,
and I think that. That's kind of the impetus for this episode, is at the highest level to talk about what freedom is. Because I think there's a lot of misunderstandings. And what
freedom
kind of,
ain't free.
That's very true. What kind of sparked this, a couple weeks ago, on October 16th, there was this Stanford professor named Robert Sapolsky. And he published some findings basically saying humans don't have free will.
You're dumb, Robert.
Like, if you look at the science, it's all determinist. It's all about your environments and your genetics and... You may have the ability to choose, but those choices are basically predetermined by your environment and your genetics, and which I think is interesting. I think he made some interesting points, and we obviously disagree with that, but we want to dive into that a little bit.
Well, and when we were talking about this, I didn't get a chance to read the article. You sent it over to us, but I saw the headline, and after we talked about it, he's not wrong according to his definition of free will. The problem is he's got the wrong definition of free will.
Yeah.
He's saying free will is not being impacted by any outside influences.
Right.
Right. Which is not free will. Free will is the ability to make a decision on our own accord, not being forced to make a decision. Right. It's one of the vows that we make when we get married, that I come here of my own free will. I'm not being forced or coerced to do this. And that's the free will that God gives us, is he gives us the opportunity to make decisions without being a tyrant of a God. And he's not going to force us to think things, say things, do things, or don't think, say, and do things.
So, yeah, Steve, I think what you're describing there is it's license, right? It's the ability to decide or to choose. And I think that license certainly is an aspect of freedom, but the Catholic understanding of freedom, the classical notion of freedom, I actually think goes even a little bit farther than that.
I agree with you. I was just talking about free will as far as decision-making based on this guy's article. What we're talking about today is this greater sense of freedom.
Totally.
I mean, it's so important because, yeah, to your point, Steve, the guy had the wrong definition. Most people have the wrong definition. Like we alluded earlier, that freedom is just do whatever the hell you want.
Right.
You're free. That's such a superficial, unmotivating definition of what real freedom actually is. And so the thing I love about this whole concept of freedom is it's so connected to our ability to love.
Absolutely.
And so love is ultimately the greatest thing we can do. It's the greatest of all virtue because God is love, and it's what every other virtue points to. And to be able to love, you have to be free. And I think that's where we can talk about what actual freedom is.
Yep. So I think I took a class at Benedictine College. I want to give Dr. Jim Madden a shout out because he was kind of the first one to open my eyes to some of this. But I actually think in America, we're particularly susceptible to this, I don't know, this weak notion of freedom, right? That freedom means I can do whatever I want. And if you're telling me I can't do something, you're infringing on my freedom.
Screw the British.
Yeah. Matthew Kelly, in one of the first focus conferences I went to, talked about that we have a misunderstanding of freedom, that it's, I'm going to try my best to do a Matthew Kelly Australian accent here. He goes,
mate,
freedom is doing what I want, when I want, with whomever I want. That's not freedom.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Right.
It's not.
It's a decent accent.
Was that okay?
I see a couple good words in there.
It would get the degree. But I think if you were to ask like your typical guy in your men's group or in your parish or guys at work, hey, what do you think freedom is? Like, can you describe what freedom is? Define it for me. I think a lot of guys would give you some rendition of, well, it's the ability to do whatever I want, whatever I choose, without being influenced by outside forces, whether it be the government, whether it be different things in my environment, different things from my family upbringing, those inhibit my freedom.
Yeah, and I guess in a marriage vow, there's a sense of that. There's a true sense of when we say free, you have to be uncoerced to enter into marriage validly. So there's an element to that.
Yeah,
that's
so
true,
license is a part of freedom. Mm-hmm. But if you boil it down and just, I don't know, bastardize it and say it's just license, then actually this guy's right, because it is impossible to make a choice without outside
influences.
The
Stanford guy?
Yeah. Like every decision will be influenced by outside forces. But the Catholic understanding of freedom is not freedom to do whatever I want, freedom from outside influence. It's freedom for.
Well, yeah,
freedom for excellence, to pursue something.
Amen. And he'll be right, because if you start to do whatever you want, you will be controlled by those desires.
Right.
Because we're not made to be like an animal who follows those instinctual drives, right? We're made to actually contemplate, think, reason through something, and then make a choice. And so, but if you live following your pants, it's going to be, you're just not going to have that freedom. You're just, you know, you're always going to want to eat that Big Mac or that donut or look at that porn or look at whatever it is, because you just don't have the freedom, because you become controlled by your passions, because you're living upside down.
Yep. And Brock, I want to reiterate what you said, because I think that also helped me really understand what freedom actually is. It's not freedom from something, it's freedom for something. And Thomas, that's what you were saying. A lot of people don't have freedom from pornography. There's an addiction there. They don't have freedom from junk food. There's bad habits there. They don't have freedom from all sorts of things.
Yep.
Instead, can we have freedom for purity? Can we have freedom for a chaste heart? Can we have freedom for a healthy diet and good exercise, because we are disciplined to get out and go do those things?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the difference of what we're talking about, that we're not just, freedom is not a lack of being enslaved to something. It is actually a proactive freedom that we are gifted, we are given this grace to go out and to choose to pursue greatness in life or in something.
Yeah, 100%, Steve. And ultimately, so we can be free to give of ourselves.
Yes.
So that in love, right? So really, at the end of the day, we are free to become saints.
Yeah.
Right? That we can be free to become who God created us to be.
Love it. And look, it's hard, man. We've got Halloween candy still around our house. And what is it? Almond Joys are spectacular. I love the coconut. I think I had 3 or 4 of those yesterday.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say Almond Joys are favorite.
Steve, come over to the
Steve
side.
On this one.
I've never.
Boys.
It's the worst Halloween candy. It's like black licorice and then Almond Joy.
Black licorice. I might be a fan of that, but
are free.
I don't think I've ever had an Almond Joy. 100 grand all the way. Best 100
grand's
bar.
Good.
You crazy good.
You gave us those last year.
You get the crunch and the caramel.
Okay, I'm with you. I don't
free
discriminate
to eat 100 grands.
Almond Joys are really good, guys. You need to try them.
I'll give all of mine to you.
You don't like coconut?
No, not a fan.
Yeah, I guess I do. I don't know.
And almonds and chocolate. There you go.
I'll try one.
Thank you.
I will try one.
I'll
give you my honest feedback.
Okay, to bring us back.
Free to do what you want.
There's a quote from JP2, who's the only saint that I ever got to meet in 2001. I got to meet him when he was...
We have evidence of that, actually.
Yeah, just a couple years away from death.
You were like 7?
11, but yeah.
Rhymes.
What'd you say? Did you say anything?
I didn't say anything. If you look at the picture, my jaw is on the floor and he's...
Do you remember it?
Do you remember it? I definitely remember it. But he's got this...
Wait, hold on. You're 11.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember what 11 was like. Did you feel the gravity of this as like the Pope? Do you remember any of that?
Yeah. So we actually got to meet him twice. The first time...
Now he's
cool dude.
Now he's... Yeah.
No, the first time we were... My dad was on some consistory or council or was helping advise somebody. And we got to go the first day. We got to go was just this small group, and we were walking through the halls of St. Peter's. And I remember I've never been there before. I don't know where we're going. And we walk around the corner into this really tiny chapel, and he was just sitting in his wheelchair in front of the tabernacle. And it was
like,
unbelievable.
It's like poop your pants.
Holy cow.
Moment.
That's the Pope. And he's just praying. And we kind of all filed in, and then we got to go up and shake his hand, and then we got to have mass with him. And then the next day, the big group got to all go meet him again, and I got to shake his hand again. But the reason I bring him up is in one of his encyclicals, Veritatis Splendor, he actually talks about this notion of freedom. And he goes right at kind of the what we're talking about, this American understanding. He says, freedom consists not in doing what we like, but in having the right to do what we ought. Mm-hmm. And I think that that can be paradigm shifting for us as men as we think about freedom in our lives, not just the freedom that we are pursuing personally, but the freedom that we fight for both, you know, in our society and politics. An analogy here that's always been super helpful for me. If you think that freedom is just the ability to do whatever you want, do whatever you like, then Steve and Tiger Woods are just the same level of free to play golf. If we're talking about how free are you to play golf, Steve and Tiger Woods, if we're just talking about freedom to do whatever you want, Steve and Tiger are in the same, they've got the same level of freedom. But with the Catholic understanding of freedom, it's the ability to excel, the ability to do what you ought. With that understanding, you can rightly say, no, actually, Tiger's more free to play golf than Steve is because he's honed the habit. He's become excellent at this. And so I think that freedom not consisting in the ability to do whatever we like, it consists in our right to do what we ought, can be really helpful.
Public confession, I'm the least free to play golf at the table.
No, yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
That's why I use Steven, not you.
I don't think you have.
No, I think I did once, and really? I don't want to again.
I played with Brock recently. That wasn't horrible.
No, you were good.
So I love both of those, free to do what we ought. And I like the golf example because it's a secular way to understand it. But I want to bring us back to the spiritual reality, the heaviness of freedom that we're talking about today. Because if we are free to do what we ought, that impacts us in our families, in our jobs, in our relationships, in our friendships, that we are free to not gossip and slander, that we're free to work hard, to be excellent in our jobs and school, and to be excellent brothers in our friendships with men, to be good husbands or boyfriends or fiancés, to be pure to our wives and our girlfriends. That's freedom, that we are free, that we have the opportunity to call the invitation to be free to do what we ought in all of those scenarios.
Yeah.
And that's heavy.
Yeah, because anything that makes it easier for you to do what you ought actually makes you more free.
Yeah.
So the discipline, you know, I love giving Exodus 90 a shout out. I mean, I think that those exercises, while very difficult, and sometimes when you're in the middle of it, you're like, gosh, this does not feel, it feels like it's being imposed on me, right?
Yeah.
But all of those are building habits that actually make you more free.
Yeah. So my second book is all about this. It's called Pursuing Freedom. And
Brock met the Pope twice. Thomas had to bring up his second book.
Well, my point is because
I got to think of something I've done twice.
I'll give you some time here. So Pursuing Freedom.
Wait, was this the picture book that...
It's a children's book. No, but that is my dream, is to write a children's book. But the whole point was, as you guys, we've talked about this a lot, is for the masculine vision coming out of Genesis 2:15 to Shamar, we actually have to have a sense of freedom to engage in that duty.
Right.
Right. If we're restricted by vices and fear or whatever it is in our life, we actually don't have the freedom to step into that role.
Right.
And so the whole book goes into various themes. Most of them are virtues and looking at examples in the saints of how all of us need to pursue a freedom so we can actually live that duty to shamar, to guard, to protect, to live the masculine vision in its fullness. And the analogy I use is like, look, if you're a football player and you're running downfield on kickoff and you've got, I don't know what I ended up using in the book, but you can think of a little midget like holding onto your leg or, you know, a lead block on your leg, you're just not free to run and enter into that and make that tackle, right? And that's what all these extra things, these vices, these temptations, it's like someone grabbing onto your leg when you're trying to run downfield and make a tackle. And growing in virtue is a way to actually step more into freedom because then you can do what you ought to do.
Yeah, it reminds me of when I played my second Super Bowl.
But was that on Tecmo Bowl?
That's a story for another day.
What year of Madden was this?
No.
08, 09?
Yeah, I try not to brag about it. I lead a couple Bible studies, and I know you guys do too. And this week, we went over prayer. And all these guys, they're phenomenal guys, supporters of Focus, and they've become dear friends. None of them had really instituted a daily prayer life. In fact, maybe half of them had ever heard that was kind of a thing. you know, which is not uncommon, but it's so important. In fact, one of the guys said, Steve, I don't think anyone's ever been holy and not had a prayer life. And I said, you're exactly right. There has never been a saint who did not have a daily prayer life. And you could see the intensity of that moment in their eyes and in their facial expressions. But we were talking about creating this habit for prayer. And what I told him, I said, look, the when and the where are just as important as the how. And right now in this chapter, we're talking about how to pray. And that's good. And that's important. You need that. But the when and the where are just as important. Meaning, what time of day are you going to do this? And where in your home are you going to do this?
Absolutely.
And so I made them all text our group text line when and where they're going to pray, and they all sent back, and it was sweet. It was like 5:30 in the morning my office, or 6 p.m my living room, or wherever it was, but they all committed to a time and a location. By doing that, they are more free to develop this habit of prayer, because they are creating the environment, the influences, the surroundings, which will help them succeed in that.
Well, and that's the beauty, Steve. That's a great point of the Christian life. It's not one that's restrictive. It's actually one that is the most free.
Totally.
Because these quote unquote rules or commandments, similar to what you just said, right? They give us an actual vision. They give us the proper roadmap. The game. They give us the rules to play. And if you don't have rules to play a game, you don't have a game.
Totally.
And so when you know the rules, you live by them, you actually enter in with the most freedom, along with virtue, right? And freedom and God's grace, ultimately, which gives us that freedom fundamentally. But to play that game. So the Christian life is the most, gives us the opportunity to be most alive, because it gives us the chance to be the most free, because that's what we were designed to do.
Yeah,
totally. No, and I love that example, Steve, because I think you can see how insidious this slight distortion of freedom can be in that example. Like, if freedom is just the ability to do whatever I want, the ability to do whatever I like, which is most people's understanding of freedom, it would be very possible to picture somebody in your Bible study saying, who the heck is this Steve guy trying to force me into giving up 30 minutes of my day? Like, what this group is like, it's imposing this this requirement on me.
Yeah.
That they're making me do things, and it'd be very easy to like have this, it perpetuates this victim mentality that you see everywhere, that anything that is trying to influence my actions is somehow harming me. It's taking away from my freedom. And I think it's a really insidious trick by the evil one to slightly distort your way of viewing the concept of freedom, because then anything that influences you, even if it's influencing you for excellence and for holiness, is somehow a bad thing. It's taking away your ability. It's taking away your freedom. And so I just think in an example like that, understanding that freedom is the ability, it's the right to do what we ought. And things that help us along that path actually make us more free. They increase, they augment our freedom. They don't take away from it. I think it's such an important like keystone understanding as we just try to live the Christian life.
Totally. And it's the same with chastity. So let's say you're listening to this and you're struggling with purity and you want to get free of this addiction to pornography. Again, we want to turn that on its head and say, we actually want you to pursue freedom for purity, not freedom from addiction. So how do you do that? Well, when do you fall into it? Is it after looking at social media and certain pictures that you see on there? Is it after watching a movie that you know nudity is in and you probably shouldn't watch it, but it's a really good movie and so you kind of deal with it? Well, don't watch those movies. What do you need to do to hone in on becoming free for something instead of free from something?
Absolutely.
Change your environment, change your habits so that you can be free for something.
Yeah, I mean, scripture speaks to that. The enslavement, sin is enslaving. And that's when we do what we want, a lot of those things there's the potential to be sinful things. Not everything we want is sinful, but it can be sinful. And that ultimately does enslave us, chokes us, suffocates us. And so there isn't that joy, there isn't that freedom. So yeah, what are those small things that we can be attentive to? Even that mindset, Steve, of free for purity is huge. It's beautiful, right? And it's more motivating.
Well, probably. It's so much better when you get to give yourself to your spouse, right? Mm-hmm. Either on the wedding night or regularly in your marriage. If you are free for purity and chastity, that marital embrace is so much better.
Amen.
Rather than if you're trying to become free from pornography or masturbation, it's totally different when you approach that marital union and you're not free from that addiction. Rather, you're free for purity and chastity.
For your wife, yeah.
It's amazing. As you can see, freedom is an incredible topic. topic and reality that God has given us, and the devil has distorted it. Brock, I like how you said that, and it's a great way to wrap and to acknowledge that there are so many different parts of our life where we can pursue freedom for what we ought to do. That's it for today on the Man Catholic Podcast, guys. God bless. We'll catch you next time.